part of what God wants us to walk in and operate. Hopefully we'll take a little deeper look at it tonight and have some truths. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Everybody say, get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not. Notice now wisdom has been characterized as using a she or her in this. And she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Say that with me. Wisdom is the principal thing. I could almost take that one line and give you a lesson just based on that one truth. It is so important. It is a principal thing, and that's what he's telling. Therefore, in view of that, get wisdom, and with all of thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting, get understanding. Good things come from following God's wisdom. How many would agree with that? Amen. How many have known people that, and we talked a little bit about this Sunday morning, you've known people who didn't seem to have a lot of wisdom. They might have been smart. And I'm trying to be careful with my words tonight. I don't want to be offensive. But you know, there are people that seem to be smart, and yet they don't seem to be smart at all. I mean, I know that they might have even an education. They might have gone to college. They might even have a few degrees hanging on their walls, as Linda points to her husband. They might have a few things on their wall, plaques that talk about their accomplishments, but they lack wisdom. They lack the principal thing. They might have a head knowledge or even a heart knowledge. You know, I this sounds funny, but I think people serve God wrong. Some serve God wrong. They when I say they serve it wrong, they're miserable. They're defeated. They're not overcomers, so they're beyond. You know, they're always looking for what shouldn't be in there, in what should be a relationship with the Lord. They're not doing it right. Now, I know that we're going to have a bad day. How many know that? But every day can't be a bad day. Amen. I mean, you can't be miserable every day. If you're miserable every day, you're not doing it right. Amen, church. I'm telling you, if you're constantly defeated, you're constantly broke down spiritually, something's wrong. I think there are people that know about God but don't have a knowledge of who God is. I believe that's why Jesus said not everyone that says Lord, Lord's going to enter in. Because I don't believe everybody's born again. I'd love to believe that everybody that prays the sinner's prayer truly prayed it in faith, but I don't know that. I do know this. There is for a believer, there has to be a transformation. And there has to be then a change. And I, you know, I think of the scripture, and it was in the Psalms, it says, why is your countenance low? Why are you in the mully grubs? Why are you down? There's a time, I know that we all have highs and lows. I know that there are challenges. I'm not trying to disagree with that. But it's not every day. Amen. There ought to be some good days in your walk with Christ. Amen. Amen. So good things come from following God's wisdom. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Wow. Powerful stuff. Sorry, I went the wrong way. Give me a moment. So, let's look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means everything that you are. Don't lean to your own way of thinking, your own ways of surviving. I was talking to some of the guys earlier this evening. We talked about why in America we don't see some of the things that you might see in other places. And the truth of the matter is, although I think the need of God is great, I don't think people know they need God as much as they need him. I think that there's so many avenues that people choose to look for their help. They're not looking to God. Now, I wrote this. I think this is so powerful. If you're trusting, you're not worrying. If you're worrying, you're not trusting.
Amen.
You might as well say, amen, oh me, or ouch. Come on, if you're trusting, you're not worrying. If you're worrying, you're not trusting. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Sounds good, doesn't it? You go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a report that you didn't want to hear. Be anxious for nothing. You just got a tax bill that you've got to pay. Be anxious for nothing. You just went out to your vehicle to start it, and it didn't start. Be anxious for nothing. You just went after church on a Sunday and found your window broken out. We just had that happen Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon, a car pulled into our parking lot, busted a window, got some stuff from the inside, pulled out of our parking lot. Pardon me? In 5 minutes' time. Be anxious for nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, if you're worrying, you're not trusting. How many ever found out that you have a little more month than you have money? Anybody ever find that out? Yes. Thank you, honey. All of a sudden, something hits you that you didn't expect. Debit out of your account. Are you trusting God? Listen, your life will reflect who you really are. I'm not talking about being a Christian. That part, if we're saved and we've accepted Christ and we've made Him our Lord and Savior, that's not what. Because how many want to go a little deeper than just being saved?
Amen.
I mean, don't you want to go a little further than just being a Christian? How many want to be an overcoming believer?
Yes.
How many want to be a believer that's making a difference?
Yes.
How many want to be a believer that's impacting others?
Yes.
Come on, a disciple of Jesus Christ, an imitator of the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody that's gonna really have an impact on somebody else.
Come on.
Amen, church. Come on. I mean, you know what you do? You know, I made a statement years ago. I preached a message that Christians ought not to smell like smoke. Had some people that had a habit of nicotine. They thought I was talking about them. And actually, what I was talking about is Daniel, when he went into the fiery furnace. Was it Daniel? The three Hebrew children. Excuse me, not Daniel. Three Hebrew children who were cast into the fire. And the Bible said that when they came out of the fire, they did not even smell like smoke. The idea of that, the concept of that, even though you're in the fire of life's trials, you ought to look like you haven't been in the fire. I mean, if you're really trusting Him, am I talking to anybody tonight? If you're really trusting Him, then giving becomes such an easy part of our walk. Because we trust Him. We don't worry about whether or not, how is God going to do? We don't. It doesn't matter, does it? Because if you're trusting, listen. I've told you. I've been real honest. There was a time in my walk with the Lord. I was the best at worrying there was. Let me tell you, I was a worry wart from the go. I mean, I laid awake every single night trying to figure out how this was going to take care of this, how I was going to make it through this. I worried every single night. I felt like I wished you'd just give me something to worry about so I could, I mean, no reason for both of us to worry. Just give me something else to worry about so I can spend my night not sleeping and worrying. Today, I put my head on my pillow. I used to get so upset with my wife. You see, she's a Thompson. Her and her brother Larry, I'm telling you, Regina's husband, I've never seen people in my life that can lay their heads down and the minute their head hits the pillow. I've had my wife ask me something and before I can answer it, she's already asleep. When I was a worrywart, that used to make me mad. But let me tell you what, I can fall asleep right now. You know why? I don't have fear or worry on my mind. Amen. If you're worrying, you're not trusting. And if you're trusting, you are not worrying. You cannot do both. Can't do both. Well, I'm trusting God, but I'm sure worried about this. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are not trusting God if you're worried about it. Some of you, I can't get away from it because some of you really need to hear this. Look at your neighbor and say, are you the one that needs to hear this? Because somebody really needs this. Somebody really needs this. All right. Let's look at Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse number 13. Happy. That word, it can be interchanged for blessed, by the way. Blessed, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. How many realize that this may seem kind of hard to grasp at first? If you were to examine a billionaire, the first thing you would think is what makes that man rich is the billions. I've been a person that's read after successful people. Donald Trump, I don't know if you know this, when he and his wife Ivana divorced, he went through a major depression, filed bankruptcy on about 25 different businesses. I know that sounds pretty mind-boggling. And, of course, half of everything he had went to Ivana, his wife. And he lost a tremendous amount of money. And it was interviewed after that because about 2 years after him and Ivana divorced, he was worth over double what he was before they were divorced. He had more than made up the loss and had become double the amount of worth that he was before. And so they interviewed him and they said, What is the secret of your success? What is it? And he said, I just did what I know to do. I didn't do for a while what I know to do, and I just did what I know to do. See what Solomon is saying here, so don't miss it. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. What Solomon is really saying is there's more value in the wisdom and understanding than there is in the gold and silver. Why? Because if you have wisdom and understanding, the gold and silver will come. You understand that? If you have the wisdom of God, then the material things don't really matter. You know, Matthew chapter 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things will be added unto you. If you put priority first, God first. Yes. It's talking about her is wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and understanding. He gave a gender to it of her and she. Look at verse 15. She is more precious than rubies. So you can interchange that so that we understand. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. How many see that? And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Remember what Solomon wrote. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the principal thing. When James says in chapter 1 and verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all men generously. So if you lack wisdom, ask of him. How many have faced a situation where you just knew that what you were trying to do was bigger than you? You ever face a, Might be the first day on a job, and you're overwhelmed. You feel like, well, I thought I could do it, and now all of a sudden I find myself, it looks like I can't. You know, typically what we try to do, just be honest, we're all this way, we try to do what we're comfortable with. But what happens when God wants to stretch us? What happens when God wants you to be more than you've ever been? You know, the truth of the matter is, how many can define faith? Now, I'm not talking about quoting scripture. What is faith? Trust. Not scripture. What is faith?
Trust.
Trust, that's good. What else? Pardon me?
True belief.
True belief, okay. What?
A little further than belief, I believe it's knowing.
Knowing's a good word. Yes, Tim. Yeah, going without seeing. Those, and what we're doing is we're trying to get our minds around what the scripture says about it. But I don't just want to know what the Bible says. I want you to have an understanding of what faith is.
Believing.
It is believing.
Action.
It is an action word. It's a verb. Yes, Jeffrey. It is absolutely stepping out of your comfort zone. There's one word that I'll just toss to you guys and then let you guys just really think about this beyond today. Beyond this study. Risk. Risk. Faith is risk. Stepping out of the boat and getting on the water is risky business. Starting a new business, that's risky. Starting a marriage, risky, right? Anything that requires you to do something that there is a, yeah, you've lost the cushion. Have you ever been uncomfortable in a situation because you're doing something you've never done? Out of your comfort. How many like the comfort zone? I'm told this. It's not something I've actually studied it out. They say when the baby eagles are ready to leave the nest, that what the mother eagle does is start little by little removing everything comfortable from beneath the eaglets, so that they will eventually decide it's time to get out of this thing.
She tears up the nest.
So that they will begin to get out. See, you thought because you faced something challenging in your walk, you didn't understand that God was involved in the whole thing. You didn't realize that God was wanting to really have you trust Him. Because we all, the Christian thing is say, oh, I have faith. That's the Christian thing to do. I have faith. The Christian thing to say is, I trust God. I have no problem trusting the Lord. You know, I think, Pat and I, we've talked about this a lot. I don't want to be critical. I don't want to, you know, as we get older, I don't want to be cynical. And because I see so many different,
yes.
I see so many people that are so quick to attack this ministry and that ministry, and I don't want to do that. So let me just tell you certain things I admire. When Joel Osteen took his father's ministry, I used to listen to his father when his father preached when he was alive, John Osteen. When Joel Osteen took over the ministry at Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen had never preached a message, not one. He actually worked in the sound area. Media, that type of ministry. He had and never thought about ever stepping behind the podium and speaking. And his father had built a wonderful ministry at the hand of God. You understand, God did it. But he had built a successful ministry. They had what you'd call a mega church. There were a few thousand people that were a part of the ministry. Great church. And they were in a building at Lakewood. They had built this wonderful facility. And when Joel took the ministry over, it immediately wasn't big enough for him. So he went to the Coliseum there where they are, and they wouldn't sell it to him. But they leased it to him. And I'm just, talking about faith. I'm talking about risk. And so he took the lease for the Colosseum. And their ministry put over $100 million into the Colosseum to make it usable for his ministry. That's amazing to me. That's amazing. You criticize him all day long, as far as I'm concerned. That's amazing. Don't tell me he doesn't have faith. You know, don't tell me he doesn't have faith. I remember somebody here some time back actually told me this, and this was a fairly local pastor. Not, and this way said, he said, you know, I'd be really concerned about even being in your church. He says, if I was the pastor, I said, why is that? He says, because the building's so big. What's your utility bills run? Yeah. And I told him, oh, I'd never be able to do that. Do you see the difference? Do you understand the difference? You see the difference? You see, the Bible says if there are no oxen, the stalls remain clean. You know, when you begin to grow, there's things with that. I hope you guys are getting something. See, to just say, I have faith, I trust God. It's easy to say until you're faced with an opportunity that you really need to trust. To say, you know what? God's bigger than this. I hope I'm helping you. All right. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In other words, wisdom will help you live longer. Amen. Wisdom will help you. Not just eternity. I'm talking about here. Wisdom will help you live longer. How many have found out that there are certain things that you used to do without even thinking, and today you'll think about it? Right? Right? I'll never forget here, this happened some time back, actually it's been several years ago, but we were with my brother, and we had rented a houseboat. And we're out on the lake with the houseboat, and they had at that time, they had some teenage foster kids. Foster boys. And they were climbing on one part of the houseboat and jumping off that part of the houseboat. I thought, man, that looked like fun. That just looks like pure fun to me. That just looks like fun. So I grabbed hold of the bar and I started to climb up there. I started to climb up there. And you know what? Wisdom prevailed. All of a sudden, wisdom got my attention. Now, you know the thought that came to my mind? I'm not a teenager anymore. I don't know. Wisdom may have saved my life that day. Wisdom will give you a long life. There was a time when our son, Chris. Christopher, if there was a roller coaster or a ride anywhere, Chris had to be on it. If that ride had a sign, one out of every two people die on this ride, he would say, I'm going. But he has admitted to us. He has told me, I'm not as fond of some of those rides that I used to go on. Haven't you? I don't like heights. Oh yeah, it's my fault. It's the blame game. Length of days in her right hand, her left hand, riches and honor. How many think it's a good thing to have some wisdom? Follow what Solomon is saying. Can we just get something settled? You know, it's okay to have the things that God wants to bless you with. It's all right. Never let things control you. Remember the rich man that went away without Christ? Why? Because he put more confidence in what he had than who he was trying to believe for. But there's nothing wrong with when God wants to bless you. Is that all right? Amen. Amen. Remember what John wrote? John said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper, flourish and thrive in the things of God and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Another way, keep things in balance. Amen. I mentioned that Sunday morning. Be in balance. Yes, sir. Keep what?
Powder dry.
Oh, your powder dry. Okay.
Talking about wisdom.
Yeah, right. All right. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness. I love that. Pleasantness. That kind of speaks of peace, beauty, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who retain her. So, what do you think wisdom is? Is it the same as knowing something? The dictionary says knowledge is being acquainted with the facts, like knowing the how-tos. How to drive, how to cook, how to make your bed, how to do laundry. The how-tos, how to build a house, how to put gas in your car, how to do it, okay? And then, or the knowing the should-nots. I want you guys to catch some of this. I'm really going to say something here in a moment. The should-nots. You know what you should not do. Knowledge is knowing the how-tos and the should-nots. How many got some things you do know? You know how to do a certain amount of things, and you know some things you should not do. Are you with me? You can know how to put gas in the car, but if you never take what you know and do it, there's a problem. How many have ever run out of gas? How many ever had a perfectly good gas gauge and ran out of gas? See, you knew the how-to. So you guys understand that you guys are getting the how-to part of it. And you also understand the should-nots, right? That's a good idea. That's a good idea. That's definitely a should-not. I can think of many more should-nots. How many can think of a few should-nots? So you know better, right? How many have been guilty of doing what you know better? No, come on. I mean, this is real, isn't it? You would have to agree that that's having a head knowledge, having a knowledge of something, but not using a lot of wisdom.
That's right.
Right? You're acquainted with the facts. Right? You know that. Okay. The dictionary says that wisdom is doing something with that knowledge. It's not just being acquainted with the how-tos and the should-nots. Wisdom is applying the how-tos. So if I know then I need to put gas in my car, then wisdom is putting the gas in. Right? It's applying what you know. I know this is basic, but isn't that true? And the should-nots, the wisdom is I still don't do it. Because I know better, right? I know better. Should we go back to the chocolate cake? Well, I mean, if it's a should not, you understand, right? No, I'm not off task. No, you understand. There are things that you should not do. And if you do what you should not do, are you applying the knowledge that you have with wisdom?
No, not at all.
Right? It's like... We talk about this going back around that mountain. Does anybody know about going around that mountain again? You know, a mountain that you should have already overcome, whatever it is, right? And you, for me, I'll tell you the one thing that, and it frustrates me when I fall victim to what I already know and I still do it. It's when you know better and you say it. And you know, don't get your minds thinking profanity, because that's not even an issue. But you allow something to come out of your mouth that you know is not what you ought to be saying. And you know what I do? Okay, God, I'm going around the mountain again. I've been here. I've done this, but I didn't use wisdom. I didn't apply the wisdom of God, right? I know. It's not like I don't know, Donald. It's not like I haven't been down this road before. I know. So when I continue to do what I've always done, I will have the results I've always had. Unless I'm willing to change, I'm going to always experience the same thing I've always had. Does anybody want to grow a little bit more than you've ever grown? And can I tell you, it's going to then be applying what you know with the wisdom of God. So that you do the things that you ought to do and don't do the things you shouldn't do. Amen. I know it seems so basic, right? But truthfully, church, if it's so basic and so easy, why are we got so many mountain circlers? Why are so many of us doing that? If it was so easy for us to do. That there's more truth in that, because we don't want to stop. We want to do what we do, and yes.
Or sometimes, Pastor Mike, what I've noticed is we'll put limits.
We'll put limits what?
We'll put limits on it. You know, limits are conditions, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I'm calling it limits. You know, things go great for a little while. You're all excited, everything's happening good. And then the Lord's blessing you, what you asked for, and then all of a sudden you got it. And you said, well, I'm not going to go to the other guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like hitting the top.
You know, it reminds me of the scripture says, you know, not allowing things to slip. Don't let things slip. In other words, wherever you are in Christ, and remember, you are exactly where you want to be in Christ. You're exactly where you want to be. Now, so you grow, and you take a few steps further in your walk with God. Your faith level's a little higher than it was. You're definitely overcoming more than you were. You're less defeated in other areas as well. And if you're not careful, what happens is we grow complacent. We get complacent. Overly comfortable, and we get cocky. We begin to think, I've got this. I can do this. Let me give you an example, and I'm not picking on anybody. It is the alcoholic that would say, I can have one beer. It's the alcohol. You get me? It's the alcoholic that says, I can handle one beer. Yes. And these I think are so important for us. You guys understand that that we grasp the understanding that let me tell you what sin does, just so that we are all very clear. We know that God saved us from our sin, right? But sin will always take you further than you ever expected to go. Sin will always cost you more than you ever thought you would spend. That's what sin does. Sin doesn't know. Sin has no respecter of person. Just in the same sense as God has no respecter of person. If you will allow yourself to indulge, you would say, "Yeah, I'm forgiven." Forgiveness doesn't give you a reason to live in sin and in perpetual lifestyle of ungodliness. Come on, church. If you think, "I've got this," you will find yourself in the middle of what you never dreamed you would be in. Thinking, "How did I get here? Not me." How many have ever said, "Not me"? Not me. Won't happen to me. All right. Yes, Ken. Yeah, you know what you do? You're exactly right. When you find yourself a victim of your choices, the problem then is you don't know how to get out of that because you just feel so ashamed of yourself. You don't know how to pull yourself out of it. All right. I hope you guys are getting something. How many would agree now that wisdom is something that we need from the Lord? We do need this. We need this. It means that you take the knowledge that is in your mind and apply it to your life. Amen. You make application. How many realize that with the Bible, with the Word of God? You study the Word of God, not just so that you can gain the understanding of being able to say, "I can quote this scripture." Amen. It's so that you can appropriate the Word of God. Amen. What does it mean to appropriate? Put it where it belongs. Use it in your life, right? If you take the Word of God and you appropriate it, it's one thing to have a head knowledge of God or a head knowledge of the Bible, and it's another thing to make it applicable in your life. Apply it. I almost played it tonight. It's a 7-minute video. I shared it on my Facebook page. It's a 7-minute video of a conversation, and one of the key, the interviewer was Oprah. And in this interview, she is speaking to a man and a woman. This is their assessment, and she is right along with the whole thing. That we in church, talking about believers, are using a 2,000-year-old letter that is no longer relevant. I want you to think about that for a minute. Now, I want you guys to get this. The Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. How many believe the Word of God is still quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword? How many believe it is still the living Word of God? Everybody say this word with me, rhema. Rhema means living word. It is alive. How many believe that Word of God is still alive? Amen. We may be teaching from Solomon's writings, but it is just as relevant as when Solomon, under the inspiration of God, penned those words that were in the book of Proverbs. Are you with me? Yes. And when we say, "Oh, it no longer has relevance," the Bible said there is a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. It denies the power of God. Pardon me? Interesting enough, isn't it? Interesting enough. Interesting enough. You guys get that, right? I'm not judging. I'm just saying flat out, listen, I stand on the Word of God.
Yes. I think that's between wisdom and non-wisdom right there.
Wisdom and foolishness. I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It is so essential. Listen, you and I cannot debate whether God's word is God's word. If Hebrews 13:8, I see you, Chris, I'm going to call you in just a second. If Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. That Word was God. How many believe that Word still is relevant today? Yes. Do you still believe it? I do. I believe it. Yes. Extremely good point. Extremely good point. All right. It means, we're still talking about what wisdom is. It means being able to compare the facts that are in your mind and make a judgment. Judgment is understanding. Or a decision about your life and your behavior. Everybody say ethics. How many believe that there is not only for our understanding a godly way to be, but there is an ethical way that we ought to behave ourselves? That's almost an oxymoron in a way, you understand, because ethics is behavior. So how many would agree with me that as men and women of God, there is a behavior of those of us who have chosen Jesus Christ? Do you guys agree? And wisdom is the ability to take what you now know and use it in your life and in your behavior. We were talking earlier about the Ten Commandments. And we were talking about the Ten Commandments themselves are not null and void. But they are now they were completed in Christ. Now, because we don't live by those commandments, we live by Christ. We can't say, well, now that I'm not living by the commandments, I can kill. I can steal. I can lie. I can bear false witness. I can have other gods before me. No, of course not. Would you not agree that the law of Christ Jesus is higher than the law of Moses? Sure. So what we've done now is we just now recognize that he completed everything, all the requirements for us to be right with God without performing those commandments. But that doesn't give me I now can't say, well, then adultery is just part of what I can do now, and stealing is just part of what I can do now, and lying is just part of what I can do now, and killing is just, you guys, right? What is it? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God tells me I know that I can't do that. So I apply that wisdom to my life and to my behaviors. Yes.
If you have that thought, there's no renewal of your mind.
That's good. That's right. How can I be in a repentance and be still thinking that way, right? You understand? So, wow. Good stuff, right? Proverbs 3:19-20. The Lord by his wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up. And clouds dropped down the dew. One cannot truly love God without his wisdom. One cannot truly love and serve others as Jesus did and does without wisdom. I can't say that I love God and hate people. It just can't go together. I can't, it's impossible. And if I don't want to respond to people, then am I responding to God? If I'm in fact, as a disciple, I'm a follower, an imitator of Christ, then who he is who I've become. So I'm going to love like him. I'm going to serve like him, right? I'm going to forgive like him, right? I'm going to give like him. Come on, church. I'm going to possess what Paul wrote about in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love bears no evil. Right? Because I will be the epitome of who he is. Does anybody want more of God in your life? Come on. Amen. Amen. I need him. Because all of this is impossible without him. I cannot have a Sunday relationship with God and a Monday through Saturday relationship with me. Come on, I'm not talking religion here. I'm talking about relationship. I'm a better man because of my wife. That's a fact. I'm a better man because of God. I'm talking relationships. Amen. In relationships. You know, we talked about surrounding yourself with Josephs. People that will help speak into you. Because bad company corrupts good behavior. I'm just talking the word, guys.
I can handle it. I got this.
It'll take you to the house on the street. Yes. Amen. We talked about wisdom really being then our spiritual service to God, right? It's about the relationship. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves living sacrifice. Amen? Living sacrifice. Amen. Proverbs 3. 21 to 35. Got some scripture to cover here. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom in discretion. Man, I love that. How many of you just believe we ought to just have a little discretion? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we need discretion. Wow. We just need some discretion. Is anybody shocked by other people? Is anybody shocked by yourself sometimes? Come on. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. Boy, I love this. When you have wisdom, not only do you have a long life, but having wisdom will protect you. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Honey, just say amen. You know your sleep is sweet. Amen. Man, I can lay my head down. It is so nice. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. And can I just speak that to you in Jesus' name? Please let the Lord be your confidence. Please receive that in Jesus' name as a word from the Lord. Let God be your confidence. Can you just say amen? Amen says, so be it, or so be it unto me. I receive that. Let the Lord be your confidence. Amen. Will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power of your hand to do so. I'm talking about be Jesus to this world, because this world needs Jesus. Be Jesus to this world. You probably could think of a few people that you might have passed by that you could have been Jesus to. Amen. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it. When you have it with you. Oh, I would gladly give it to you tomorrow because I just don't have it today. If you don't have it, that's one thing. But if you do, are you guys getting it? Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Everybody say covering. Do you know that if your spouse is unsaved and you are saved, you provide a covering over that house for Christ in that home? Praise the Lord. Do not strive with a man without cause. Now, I like that, because there's sometimes where conflict is necessary. There are times when conflict is necessary. Just make sure that you, as conflict is there, make sure you represent Christ in it. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. You guys know we had an issue Sunday morning. I didn't like it, but we had an issue Sunday morning. In the first service, we had an issue. I didn't like it. But for the safety of our congregation, for the safety of our service, we removed the issue. We escorted somebody out and off our premises. Now you say, well, I can't believe you would do that. Listen, when somebody starts using the F word concerning what we do in the sacraments of our communion, saying what they came to do and it was not to worship God, listen, do we want people to come in? Yes. Are we going to put people at risk? No. You know, and I even brought up the scripture. Jesus knew what it was to have conflict. He took a whip in the temple, and he drove them out. He did what was right. So there is with cause, but you do not strive with a man without cause. You don't create the cause. It's like what the scripture says. Listen, you and I do not have to take offense. How many are working on that one? Thank you. About six of you. The rest of you have already got there. I praise the Lord for all of you that are so much better than most of us. Anybody working on not becoming offended over anything? Thank you. A little more honest. Thank you. But you also have to work on not being the offense. You have to work on not being the offense. Not only do you need to work on not being offended, you can choose not to be offended. You can choose not to be offended. But you really need to work on not offending. All right. If he has done you no harm, do not envy the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord. But his secret counsel is with the upright. God's secret counsel. It's with believers. Praise the Lord. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just or the righteous or the accepted. That's by grace. Amen. Surely life scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. I didn't write this stuff. Amen. Let's stand. Everybody say, wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. It's a principal thing. What did I say? Okay. I thought maybe I said it wrong. Thank you for helping me, Bull. Appreciate that.